Well, good evening again. If you would, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, out of respect for the Word of God, would you please stand, and I will read the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. Well, let's pray together again. Our Father, we thank you again that we can come to your holy word. Help us this evening to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Shine upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us now together to learn from your word. Instruct us is our prayer. Lord, we need you. Come and work in us. Work on us. Work for us. Hear our cry in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't faint. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this: how Christians reproach, censor, and malign one another. But he's not done. He said, let us turn all our censoring into praying. Let us pray to God that he would quench the fire of contention and increase the fire of fraternal love among us. Let us pray that the Lord would heal our schisms and repair our breaches, that he would make us like the cherubim with our faces looking one upon another. One of the most challenging things facing the church is to love God's way. It's difficult, isn't it? To exercise a willing, deliberate, sacrificial giving of oneself at one's own cost for the highest possible good of another does not come naturally. It will take the power from on high and the spirit of self-denial. This is beyond natural ability. Doing good to those who have wronged us doesn't come easily or naturally. It's not easy to do. Yet, it is exactly what we're called to do as children of the Most High. And as children of the Most High, we are to give of ourselves for the highest good of each other. It is sacrificial. It is deliberate. It is willingness on our part. This is what was lacking in the church at Corinth. I mean, just to read the account of the church at Corinth would be shocking. It doesn't even seem like a church, but Paul calls it a church in spite of all of its problems. Because love was lacking, the atmosphere was a mess. And the very same thing can happen to us. If we do not strive to maintain biblical love in the way of patience and kindness. Well, in our last message on patience, that is, love is patient, we saw that this aspect of love was contrary to the Greco-Roman mind. One being patient was contrary to the modern thinking. If people did not retaliate, they were considered weaklings. Patient people were weak people in the Greco-Roman mind. You didn't just let an injury or wrongdoing go. You took action. But in our passage, verse 4 is what we're focusing upon. Paul said, charity suffereth long. Put it a little simply, love is patient. And we've talked about, I think, the reason why he has patient as first is because if we're not patient, we're not going to do the rest. We won't be kind. We will be envious. We will remember all things. The word long-suffering or suffereth long mean to be patient with others. Not patient with your dog or patient with your cat or patient with the squirrels eating up all your vegetables. No, patient with people. It is to be long-spirited, not short-tempered. It is to hold off the temper. The word actually literally meant long breathing, because they considered a person who was a short-tempered, a person who was impatient, would breathe quickly and angrily. So the word meant long breathing, and it came to mean slow to anger, slow to wrath. It is to bear long with one another, listen, without murmuring. No complaining. It is to exercise self-restraint when an injury has been inflicted. It's to act, not to act in a way of irritation. Grin and bear it. Mm-mm. We are not to use those get back at you words. You know when someone says something and you want the last word in. I'm going to get back at him or her. In other words, it is bearing or suffering along with others in their weaknesses and limitations, their infirmities and slowness, their offenses and injuries toward you. Well, we saw the significance of long-suffering, heading the list. In this particular chapter, I am absolutely amazed. In this letter, the word charity or love is used 12 times, 9 times in this chapter. And as we've said before, these are not, as Paul lays out these 15 things, these are not adjectives describing love. They are all verbs, because love is never passive, it's active. And that's what he's calling the Corinthians to do. And not only them, but ourselves also. And I don't even know if we are going to take up each one. I'm still thinking about that. That would be 15 messages or something like that. I'm still thinking about it. But I know one thing. We need to work on these so they can work on us. These are all verbs, as I said, because they are all action. If we do not love by way of patience, we will not love at all. At least not biblically. This patience then is an attribute of God. He said of himself, "The Lord passed by before him," that is Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious,'" here's our word, "long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." It's the very character of God to be patient. And should not his children possess the same quality? Patience. We looked at the manifold ways over the last 6,000 years God has shown his patience to the world. Oh, how he demonstrated patience in the day of Noah. How did he demonstrate patience toward the ruthless nation of Egypt? He just give you part of that patience. Israel was in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. That's a long time, y'all. And God was patient all that time before he brought judgment. He actually was patient prior to the Israelites going into Egypt. Oh, how he demonstrated patience toward those who killed his son. And how about toward us? Patience. If we have tasted the very patience of God, we of all people should be eager and ready to show patience. It is the duty and our duty. It is our duty to put this into practice right now in our congregation, in our home, and in the public arena. We saw also the greatest example of patience to be none other than who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Patient with his disciples and patient with his enemies. Now we come to our second demonstration of Christian love. That is, love is kind. Love is kind. I'm going to read verse 4 again. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. This word kind is only used here because it's the only verb we will find in noun form. But the verb form is only here. It carries the sense of being gentle, gracious, loving, merciful, pleasant. It is to function in a helpful and humble manner. In other words, love responds to the wrong done to it with kindness. Remember, we talked about patience. Patience takes the wrong. Kindness, on the other hand, does the opposite. It does what is right. It does what is good. So patience would take the bad, but kindness would open up the hands and do good. The very opposite. What a way to start off with this list. Be patient. Take the wrong. But respond with kindness. Do good. It is to show pity and goodwill toward those who do not deserve it. The word kind is in the present tense, just like patience. It's something that we should always be doing. It's not in the past, present. Because guess what? You and I always live in the present tense. We're living the future. Tomorrow, if we see tomorrow, we can say tomorrow is the future. But when tomorrow comes, that will be present for us. This kindness is continual all the time. It is to be the blood flowing through the veins of Christians. I remember my grandma would say to me when I thought someone did me wrong, and I didn't understand it when she used to say it, she used to say, "Kill him with kindness." What a way to kill someone and not go to prison. Kill him with kindness. Overwhelm him with kindness. Do not retaliate. You be kind. It took me a while to learn what she was talking about. Love takes an injury without responding with indignation or retaliation, but reacts in kindness. Like I say, this is one killing we want to get better at. Patience takes it on the chin, but kindness extends the open hand of response and doing good. Kindness gives the heart. Patience will bear along with the person that is the object of its love. Kindness will do everything in its strength for the good of that person. Let's be clear. Text does not say, at least this text right here, does not say we have to like the wrong that's done to us. It doesn't say that. But rather, we suffer long with the person who has done the wrong to us. We don't have to like what's done to us, but we bear long. We are patient with the person who has done the wrong to us, and we respond, no, with kindness. Kindness. Not only does one have to be able to take the wrong, but one also has to be able to respond by being kind. That's not easy. Well, who should be kind then? To whom should we be kind to? Not whom should be kind. Whom should we be kind to? Our enemies. That's hard, isn't it? We should be kind to our enemies. One, two, three of them? No. All of them. All of them. We see this with King David and the house of Saul. King David said these words, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show, here's the word, the kindness of God. Did you hear what he said? The kindness of David? No, the kindness of God. You know why? Because God has been kind to David. The kindness of God unto him. Is there any of the house of my enemy that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? He is in the house of Maker, is the reply. David sent and fetched him, and he was brought back to the king. Listen to this, I love it. When he came before the king, he fell down before him. David responded by saying, "Fear not. I will show thee kindness." Kindness. "For Jonathan's sake, and you shall eat bread continually at the king's table as one of the king's sons." Don't you love that story? My mind always goes, every time I read that story, I say, Mephibosheth, that's the son. He's lame in his feet. He can't walk. I said, oh, that's just how I was spiritually, lame. I couldn't go anywhere. And then a word came from the king. "Bring him to me." You come and you fall down before him. You fall down before the king and you look at him and he said, "Fear not, fear not. This day I'm going to show kindness unto you and you will eat at my table continually as one of my sons." Is not that what Jesus did? Continually. Don't deserve anything from him. But we have a wonderful spot at the king's table to eat as one of his children. Kindness of heaven and earth brought to us in the glorious gospel, when I call that soul track of the Spirit, got on our trail. Has he ever gotten on your trail? Rope you in? Brought you to Jesus Christ? You saw a beauty and a loveliness in this great king and you wanted him more than anything else. Did that happen to you? Being in his kingdom with one of his children. And if we're honest, we could say, "I don't deserve to be there." Now, if we look in the New Testament, in Luke 6, Jesus said these words. Listen carefully. "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good," that's our word as well, "if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies." That's a command. "But love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil." We ought to be modeling God. He is kind even to his enemies. He said, "Be ye therefore merciful." Why? "As your Father also is merciful." Luke 6, 32 to 36. To be kind then is to be godlike. It ought to be some godness about us, some Christness about us. Like Father, like children. Well, Paul goes on to say something similar. He said, "Recompense no man evil for evil." You know the old cliche. Two wrongs don't make a right. Recompense no man. Do not repay any man evil for evil. Don't retaliate. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger," pass him right on by. "If thy enemy hunger," ignore him. "Thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome or defeated of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's exactly what we have in 1 Corinthians. Patience, take it. Kindness, gifts. Overcome evil by doing good. Even when one has been wrong, he used to look for every opportunity to be kind. Every opportunity to be kind. It's a Christian heart on display in a sinful world. This is how we ought to live. Matthew Henry says this of the sister in Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman who's out there extending and spreading forth her hands to the poor and to the needy. Listen what Matthew Henry said. Her heart is large and her hand is open. Her heart large, but she has this open hand because her heart is large. We ought to be ready to do good at every opportunity. Well, we ought to be kind also to our brethren. There's many ways we could tease this out, but we ought to be kind to our brethren. The text calls us to be kind to one another. Charity suffereth long and is kindness. In the context of a church, we are called to be kind to one another. This is what is lacking at the church at Corinth. Love expressed in kindness. They were taking one another to court. Can you imagine that? I mean, I almost imagine somebody here saying, Clarence, we're taking you to court. They were taking one another to court. Chapter 6. Listen to it. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? You can't handle the matter in the church? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to just judge the smallest matters? No, he didn't say a big matter, the smallest matter. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Know not one that shall be able to judge between brethren? Now listen to verse 6. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be wrong? May I put it another way? Where's the exercise of Christian love in the way of patience and kindness? He said, why you just didn't take the wrong? That's what patience does. It takes it. No. Nay, you do wrong. The total opposite. That's unkindness. Ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. See, that's the Greco-Roman mindset. Retaliation. I've been wrong, but I have to get back. I have to get back at you. Oh, we just do some other stuff. You know, we kind of might not get back in that way. We just won't talk to one another. The same building, and we just won't talk to one another. We're upset. Our little feelings of pride is all hurt, and we can't talk to one another. We can't even look at one another. We kind of just walk past one another. Paul is saying in chapter 13, we live in this particular society, Greco-Roman mindset of retaliation, but we do not live like this particular society. He said, that's not the way we as Christians are going to live. We are going to live like citizens of heaven on earth. One of the ways we are going to put that heavenly citizenship on display is by showing love in the way of patience and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is not exercised in the church of Corinth. Love, joy, listen to the two words together. Long-suffering, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. They were caught up in individualism. Some things haven't changed. Caught up in individualism. They cannot see themselves as a family. The church body is a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're a family. They can see themselves like that. They can see themselves as the household of God. It was self-striving, self-glory, self-praise, not self-denial. It had love in words, but no love in deeds. It was said of the early church, how they love one another. They are full of kindness. You know who said that? The pagan world around them. Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples indeed if you have love one to another. The world could see around and say, those people love each other. And they're kind, even to us. Lord, give us that spirit again. We need it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, ye are the salt of the earth. Notice something. He didn't say you are a salt of the earth or some salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. There is no other. And then he goes on to say, you are the light, not a light, the light of the world. There is no other. We are the only salt and the only light. There's no other salt and light in the world. We ought to be shining everywhere. We ought to be seasoning the world everywhere. I can say it like this. Since the lady's here, I can say it in Southern talk. We is it. There's no one else. There's no other light in this world. If the Christians are not in the world, it's all darkness. We are the only light and the only salt. The word is emphatic. You are the. We ought to be demonstrating love towards one another in this world. We ought to put the display of the love of Jesus and the way Jesus is talking about it, in the way of patience and kindness in this world, especially toward one another. Ephesians 4 says this way, and be ye kind. Be ye kind. To who? To one another. Why does he have to command us to do that? Because it doesn't come naturally. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's the example, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Why did God forgive us? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. This is a command, not an option. As we said before, some may say, with a lack of love, we offer weak service to the Lord. With the lack of this love, we offer weak service to the Lord. No, my friends, with the lack of this love, we offer no service to the Lord, no matter what we do on the outside. We ought to work out this love by working at this love. Love at work is work. We have to work at this. For some reason we live in we do nothing Christianity world. That world don't exist. That's what my children call never, never land. It doesn't exist. It's not, we have this mindset that God does everything and we do nothing. Loving, may I so tell you, we have a we do Christianity. The Master has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And the Holy Spirit has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He's done in us what we could not do for ourselves. Redeemed and sanctified and empowered us so that we can do the hard things he commands us. Yes, we are called to do those things that do not come naturally with heaven's help. Well, there's something else here. Not only are we to love our enemies, not only are we to love one another, but I have a third point. I didn't give you all the points. What is meant by kindness, and then who are we to show, or whom should we show kindness to? And now, just the third thing, God is kind to us. God is kind to us. Has not God shown us, you, incredible kindness? Has he not done that? No one has had more wrongs done to him than Almighty God. No one. I mean, we complain about our little gripes. If we're honest, we complain about a word that was said to us, maybe a look that came toward us in our direction. We complain about little stuff. Some of the things we complain about, maybe most of the things we complain about, is actually petty. But who has received more wrongs than God? Insult and mockery. God. Name taken in vain. But no one's probably slandering our name around. If they knew us any better, they'd probably say some worse stuff. But no one's just taking our name around. But how about God's name? Every day. Every day. No one has had more wrong done to him than God Almighty. The use of the mind that he gave for evil thoughts on a daily basis. We almost could say 24/7. The use of the mouth that he gave for evil words, 24/7. The use of the body he gave for evil deeds, 24/7. He gave these things, and yet we don't use it the right way. The use of his air, his earth, his food, his day, his night for wicked practices. And yet, with all of these things, he's patient and kind. And that's incredible. On a daily basis, it's over 7 billion people on earth. Over 7 billion, that's a lot of folks. Imagine the insults, the thoughts, the ungodly thoughts, all these wrongs that are done to God day by day. And he still kind. Ephesians 2 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4. God is kind. God raised us from the dead, joined us to his Son, and gave us a heavenly position. Did you hear that? A heavenly position in his Son. What kindness? Titus chapter 3 puts it this way. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Sound like kindness to me. To be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, do not retaliate, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, because we had none, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He was kind. Sometimes we tend to look around us and it's a mess. It's a mess. We look around us and we don't view, you know, we kind of don't view people in a way of kindness or being patient because we've been delivered and we act like we've always been delivered. How could they do something like that? You probably did some of the same stuff. Sometimes we act like we've been saved from the mother's womb. That was only John the Baptist. Yes, the world is wicked. John said it lies in wickedness. But you and I were one, at one point in the category of unbelievers until the Spirit came. We could at least be kind and patient. Especially when it comes to our children, right? Why could you do so? I say that all the time. I love my children. How can you do something like this? I probably did the same thing when I was their age. Especially when they tell you, I forgot. You're supposed to remember. Parental impatience. You have to learn to be patient and to respond with kindness, gentleness, graciousness, doing good. Paul says our lives were a mess, and it was a hot mess. But God came in his kindness and had mercy on us. That's what God did. He didn't have to do it. He did it because he wanted to do it. Came in kindness to folks like you and me. And God has shown his kindness in every generation and in every nation. When Paul attempted to turn those in Lystra from idolatry in Acts, he said this of God, who in times past suffered, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. You hear that? Allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good. Our little problems are nothing. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That's what he did. Every nation. Every generation. Acts 14, 16 through 17. And the psalmist said, the Lord is good. And that's our word again. Good to who? All. All. And his tender mercies are over all of his works. When the angels announced the birth of our Savior, they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Here it is, goodwill toward men. Peter gave Cornelius the account record of Jesus. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, the people responded in Mark's gospel, looking at all the things Jesus has done or did, knock everything off. Know how they responded? He has done all things well. That's what's the response. Kindness. God's kindness to us. What kindness did God show us in sending his son to an unkind world? He sent him to live for the unkind, to die for the unkind, to rise again for the unkind. to ascend up into glory for the unkind and to intercede for the unkind, so that all who believe on him will have all of their unkindnesses forgiven. That's what God did. It's high, what we are called to do, patient, and to respond when I've been wrong, to respond in a way that's not natural for me to respond with kindness. Hard enough dealing with your own sins, isn't it? The passage is calling us to deal with the sins of others. This is why we have to be patient and kind. Even a church that had firsthand experience with the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ does not exclude it from having problems. We have that in Corinth. It's a mess. It's a nightmare. Drunkenness at the Lord's Supper. Denial of the resurrection. Cliquish. In that group. You know, I'm over there now. Oh, that's the homeschool family? I'm over there in homeschool group. They don't homeschool? Well, hi. I'm not in that group. Clickish in the church. Clickish. Oh, they have children? We hang with them. They don't have children? Well, hi. Clickish in the church. In the church. We could do that. Hang with our buddy crew. Paul said, family. Loving one another, being patient with one another, and being kind. We can go even further with that, can't we? Old folks? We go over here with young folks. Young together, the old over here together, never interact. Cliques in the church. That is not Christianity. Church that has Apostle Paul could have problems. And it's not so much the problems It's not so much the problems that's the issue. That's what happened when you're dealing with electronics. It's not so much the problems that's the issue. It's how we deal with the problem. That's the heart and soul of the matter. Dealing with the problem. That's Paul's drive. Corinthians, you're cliquish. He said, I belong to Paul. I belong to Paulus. I belong to Cephas. He said, I wouldn't crucify for you at all. I'm telling you about the one who was crucified, and that's the one you need to follow. And you are all celebrating. You have sin in the church, and no one's saying anything about it. And you are not living in the way of self-sacrifice. You are even moving in all kinds of direction. You're eating in the idol's temple and causing some to stumble. Drunkenness, as I said before, at the Lord's Supper, it's a nightmare. It's a mess. And I can speak in tongues and I can prophesy and I have knowledge. He said, no, any gift that's been given to an individual in the body of Christ is for the body. You understand me? It's for the body. To build it up. Gospel love, when exercised, will prevail over any church problem. I'm going to say that again. It's a key word in there, or two words in there. When exercised. Gospel love, when exercised, will prevail over any church problem. We can work out anything in our churches if we exercise love this way. Anything. If we exercise patience and kindness, we can do a world of good. Let's expand it a little bit. Gospel love, when exercised, can work through any marital problem. Any marital problem. It can work through problems between parents and children. Definitely can work through problems between brethren in the church. Could do it. If we love this way, in the way of patience, just taking it. We don't have to bring up those stuff that happened 15 years ago. I remember 15 years ago when you did this. I didn't let that thing roll off. Can I give you a good example of it? How about Joseph? Remember Joseph? Oh, his brothers did him wrong. Oh, they did him wrong. Sold him into slavery. That's what it was, slavery. He wasn't getting paid. Sold him into slavery. Told his dad, hey, is this your son's jacket right here? We're going to dip this thing in some blood. Is this his jacket? Oh, man, Joseph, he's gone. Can you imagine years to see dad crying, knowing that they sold Joseph? Heartless, cold as an iceberg. They did him wrong. 17 years old. Remember when he stood before Pharaoh? He was 30. 13 years had went by. Did him wrong. But when they came and Jacob died, find that in Genesis chapter 49. But when you get into Genesis chapter 50, the brothers started saying, okay, dad's gone. Oh, let's tell Joseph something. Joseph, we remember when, you know, dad was alive. He said, please forgive your brothers for what they did. Well, we don't have that account, but maybe he did say that. Joseph started crying when he heard that. And Joseph said to them, you meant it for evil. Translated, you did me wrong. I'm going to get you. I'm prime minister. I'm second man. Listen, I ride in Pharaoh's chariot. I'm riding in his Lamborghini. You understand? I have power here in the land, and I'm going to destroy you all. That's not what he did. He said, you did me wrong. And I'm going to do you good. I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. Fear not. That's a love response. Took the wrong. But he responded with doing good. Put it simply, Joseph just told him, I've let all that go. Would you respond like that? Sold into slavery, put in jail for something you did not do, ripped away from your family, and then respond saying, I'm going to do you good. Joseph understood that God was kind to him. And so he showed that kindness to his brothers. If we are not patient or kind, we are not going to work out issues that may arise in the church. We're not going to work it out. If we're not patient or kind. True biblical love must show itself. Love is not in hiding, y'all. Love must have feet. How to walk out there, must have hands, arms. Love has to be visible. We need to see it in action. Has to be active. Biblical love, when exercised, will not let us walk in the way of impatience or unkindness. Not biblical love. Are we ready to do good? Excited about doing good? I want to do good to somebody. If that's how we respond, huh? Are we just still, man, you know, I just want to go and just do my own thing. I don't want no one to bother me. And I just want to live a nice little comfortable life on that cloud as I float to heaven. Are we ready to do good? Ready to do it. Looking for the opportunity to do good. I'm preaching to me. You just get to hear it. If the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then that love needs to go in two directions, upward and outward. Upward to God, vertical and horizontal, or horizontal. God has done us good, and so we ought to do others good. He's done good to us and for us. Therefore, we should be kind. Paul is saying in the clearest expression, when love is active among the people of God, we see the beauty of it. When it is patient and kind, if we possess this love, we will not be able to hide it. We can't hide it if we possess it. It's visible because it acts in the way of patience, kindness. It's like a track runner. I used to run track. When he get down, when the gun fired, he came out of the blocks, everyone could see him. That's how love should be, coming out of the blocks for all to see. Remember the first century church? What love they have to one another. They're full of kindness. Well, why should we be kind and patient? Because God has been kind and patient with us. There's no other reason. We don't need another reason. This is our motivation. If we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and showing us patience and kindness, we should be overjoyed. Overjoyed that we have the privilege of doing the same to others. Overjoyed. Well, that question comes again. All those questions. How are we doing? With patience and kindness. How are we doing? How are we doing at Mount Zion? Are we like the Corinthians? Cliquish? We have our own little set. We're small. Listen, we're a small church. You can't get lost in the crowd here at Mount Zion. Everyone should know everyone in this little small assembly. How are we doing in the way of kindness? Are we going to demonstrate that love in the way of patience? I don't like the way this person wears their hair and so forth. All that stuff, petty! Petty stuff. Are we kind? Seeking to do good, gracious, gentle, merciful, loving, kind. Peter says these words. Our time is gone. Peter said these words. And above all things, have fervent love. I love it. Intense. It ought to be white hot like charcoal. Intense love. Among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. When our love is intense, we can cover all those wrong doings, and we will show kindness. When it's not, we won't. A question comes again. How are we doing? Paul said to that church that was struggling, to that church with all of its problems, he puts his finger on the issue. Charity, love is what's lacking. That's what's not being exercised. And he said, love is, he's going to give them 7 positive and 8 negatives. Love is patient and love is kind. How are we doing? Well, may the Lord help us to walk in the way of kindness because Jesus Christ has been kind to us. So may we be kind to one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again that you are gracious and that you are tender and that you have been gentle with us. Father, we can't help but thank you in being honest that we are glad, oh our Father, that you don't treat us like we sometimes treat one another. We pray that we would grow in your love. We pray that we would grow in your likeness. We pray, oh our Father, that we would be a people zealous, boiling over in the way of love, patiently and kindly. Would you help us to do so? Would you help us, our Father, deepen the roots of love in our hearts, we pray, so that we would spring up with a beautiful flower of patience and kindness. Would you do that for us? Father, we pray that we would walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have called us. Hear our cry. Be gracious to us again, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's go in the Lord's kind name.